Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tejas Networks Limited Q3 FY 2022 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhupendra Tiwary from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Tiwary.
Good evening, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, we thank the management of Tejas Networks for giving us this opportunity for Q3 FY 2022 results conference call. From the management, we have Mr. Sanjay Nayak, who's CEO and MD, Mr. Arnob Roy, who's COO and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Venkatesh Gadir, who's CFO, and Dr. Kumar Sivarajan, who's CTO. Without much ado, I'll give it to the management, post which we'll take the question answer. Over to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, and welcome everybody to Tejas Networks call. I hope everybody is safe. We had published our results and also put the presentation on our website, so I hope you had a chance to download it or can take a look at it right now. We would be walking through the presentation. I'm on slide number one, which is the key updates. In terms of the Q3 financials, our net revenue for the Q3 was 107 crores, which was a year-on-year decrease of 17%. Because of the low revenues, we had a PAT loss of 24.3 crores versus a PAT of 9.2 crores in Q3 FY 2021 for the corresponding period. Our cash and cash equivalents are at 1,175 crores, and we have no debt. Just wanted to make sure that I clarify that while our top line was lower, and we'll go into the reasons for that, we have not lost any revenues, and we have not lost any customer or business. Whatever revenue miss we had in Q3, we expect that it will be shipped out to our customers in the correspondingly upcoming quarters, including Q4. In terms of the sales update, we had one of the best booking in terms of new business win, and our momentum of wins is very, very strong. We won business worth 311 crores, and as a result, our order book has increased to 986 crores, which is an all-time high. In that sense, you know, the business momentum is very, very strong. We're also happy to announce that we've been approved as a trusted source for telecom products by the Government of India. On an overall basis, we do see that the government has a very strong intent to promote domestic manufacturing, and we clearly would be looking at all the different policies and the mechanics that they are setting up to take advantage of this situation. I'm sure you've been reading in the papers, and we talked about it in our earlier call as well, that for our 4G equipment, the radio access network or base stations, as we loosely call it, is undergoing proof of concept for BSNL's 4G network via our system integration partner. That trial has been going on for a few months and is progressing well. We do expect over the next few weeks, this trial should be closed, subsequent to which, the commercial conversation would start. So far, I think all the different requirements in terms of high watt radios and so many other things which are required in software, we have been able to deliver and demonstrate in the field to BSNL and rest of the ecosystem. On the supply chain side, Q3 revenue shortfall was primarily because we had customer orders, we had lots of customer orders in fact, and we could not complete ship complete systems due to specific component shortages. There were a few critical suppliers which were planning to pull in the inventory, but we could not pull in that inventory. We ended up in a very, you know, tricky situation where we built up rest of the system, but because of the few card which had all these components which were required, did not come in. It was akin to like we built the whole car, but some of the tires were missing, so we couldn't ship the entire car. I think this is a problem that we faced, and we hope that going forward, at least we'll have, you know, more pull-ins. On an overall basis, from whatever we've heard in the industry sources, till the end of this calendar year, there will be supply chain constraints which could have some volatility into the revenues. Of course, we've been taking advanced purchase orders, we've been taking inventory actions, but at the same time, even the suppliers sometimes have decommits or they are not able to pull into the time, which is basically causing some of the, you know, shortages of revenue that we had. In terms of one other event that we approved in our board meeting today, we have confirmed the appointment of two nominee directors from Panatone Investment, which is a subsidiary of Tata Sons. Both of them are industry luminaries, and we are very, very happy and delighted to have them on our board. The first person who's been joining our board is Mr. N. Ganapathy Subramaniam, who is the COO and board member of Tata Consultancy Services. And the second one is Mr. Amur S. Lakshminarayanan, who is the CEO and Managing Director of Tata Communications Limited. Both of these gentlemen really bring, top quality operational and first-hand experience of taking smaller companies which are of our size and to bringing to multi-billion dollar enterprises around the world. They not only have domain knowledge in telecom, but they have a lot of strategic as well as hands-on operational experience. And we are very confident that with them joining our board, we will also accelerate the synergies with other Tata Group companies and realize the larger vision that we've set out as a part of the partnership that we have with Tata Sons now. The next few slides, I will ask CFO Venkatesh Gadia to go over it, after which again I'll come back on the sales and the overall business again.
Thank you, Sanjay. We are on Q3 and 9 months financial slide. Net revenue for Q3 was 107.1 crore. We saw a decline of around 17.1%. And EBIT loss of 48.5 crores for the quarter, and the PBT loss of 32.9 crores, and PAT loss of 24.3 crores for the quarter, and also EPS loss of 2 rupees 13 paisa. And similarly, for the 9 months, revenues were 424.1 crores. We saw a year-on-year, the revenue grew by 35.4%, and the EBIT loss of 47.2 crores, and the PBT loss of 21.2 crores, and PAT loss of 13.1 crores, and EPS of negative 1 rupee 29 paisa. Let me talk about, the revenue has been declined because of some of the revenues have been deferred, as Sanjay explained, about the component shortages and all. And we have not lost any customers or any of the customers on that front. And secondly, on the gross margin front, the gross margins came down because of the blend of the India and international. International was a lower percentage of the total revenue when compared to the Q2. And secondly, the gross margin were under pressure because of the higher component costs also. And these margins will be under pressure in the near term because we need to execute some of the existing contract. And wherever it's a new order, we are trying to adjust those prices wherever it is possible in the future contracts. Third, on the OPEX front, more or less, we have maintained our cost tight, and we have been slightly increasing our investment in the R&D, especially spending on new programs. And finally, the profitability has been impacted because of we had provided ETL of around 13 crores during this quarter, provisioned higher due to some of the PSUs payments have got delayed in this quarter. And into the next slide, key financial indicators. There is a cash outflow of 4 crores in Q3, and the net worth was down because of the loss that we had in the current quarter. Yes, inventory has gone up from 226 crores to 271 crores, and basically it is increased since we could not ship the complete ship it on time or complete the balance system to fulfill the customer's order due to the critical component shortages. The trade receivable in absolute terms have been reduced to 358 crores from 414 crores, and we collected about 182 crores in Q2. And on the update on the BSNL, the payments from BSNL continue to come, but it's in a slow pace. On the net working capital, it was reduced by 7 crores. Somehow, you know, improved cash flow from operations, which has resulted in a reduction in the working capital. And from the cash position, which was down by, you know, 20 crores in this quarter, the cash position as of 31st of December was reduced to 1,175 crores. We continue to be a debt-free company. And, of course, you know, we have a very strong balance sheet. Of having such a strong cash in our wallet, which will help us in terms of executing the plans to invest in the long-term growth strategy. This, Sanjay, I'll hand over to you.
Thank you. I'm on the next slide, which is the 9 months FY22 sales update. As we have been reporting in the past, we look at a integrated view rather than a quarter-by-quarter view. So if I look at the, on the left-hand side, the pie chart is the total revenues of last financial year, broken across the three categories, which is India government, India private, and international. And on the right-hand side, the chart is the corresponding numbers of revenues for the same three segments for the current financial year. So out of the 424 crores of revenues for the 9 months, 181 crores is coming from India private, 179 is coming from international, and 64 crores is coming from the India government business, out of which, you know, 9% is critical infrastructure and 6% is from the BSNL, BBNL. And if you see the run rate business, which is in India private plus international, contributed to around 85% of total for the 9 months of the current financial year, which for the 9 months of last financial year represents around a 33% year-on-year growth. Within the three categories on the revenue side, India government, as I said, it was 21% of Q3 revenues, and on a year-on-year basis, if you take a nine-month aggregate, it's around 52.8% growth. During this quarter, we won a lot of orders in the critical infrastructure segment, and we have now built a very healthy backlog, as well as there's a lot more orders which we expect to come during the current quarter as well in terms of new business that we'll win from this segment. On the India private, this has been the fastest growing, at least as far as we are concerned, in terms of the backlog this year in terms of new order wins. So India private was 47% of our Q3 revenues, representing a year-on-year growth of 18.3% for the 9 months. But from a backlog perspective, as I said, we have a very strong order inflow from our telco customers in India. And this, this again, you know, had one of the highest backlog and order wins for this quarter. On the international side, revenues are 32% for Q3 and year-on-year growth of 51.9% for the 9 months. We again won five new customers, all the smaller customers in different geographies. If I look at it from a total angle, the backlog, as I said, is around 986 crores. And from the backlog that we have when we started this quarter, we believe around 50% of that can potentially be revenued in the current as well as the next quarter, provided we are able to secure the inventories, for which, of course, we have taken inventory actions in the past, but we still need to make sure that all the components do arrive in time and we are able to ship them out. So in that sense, I would say the business health is good. Of course, Q3 was not so good in terms of revenue, but we do expect that between the coming in the next quarter, we should be able to make up for the backlog that we have and the loss of revenue that we've seen so far. Going to the next slide, which is just a recap of the product slide, I just wanted to kind of, again, highlight that now we have two product portfolios which are of significant size or can be of significant size. They are not yet of the significant size. Majority of our current revenues, of course, come from wireline products, which is optical transmission, which is, you know, the backbone products, whether it is high-capacity metro or WDM backwards for long haul, or even in the access networks in the cities. And then we also have a strong portfolio of broadband access products, which is fiber to the home, or GPON as we call it. And in addition, we have secured Ethernet switches, which go into, you know, the networks of, you know, video surveillance, safe city, smart cities, as well as, you know, now some of the contracts we have recently won is for networking in the banking sector, for example. Banks, when they build networks, again, require a lot of Ethernet switches. And in the last quarter, we've also won some large networks of this kind as well. On the wireless product side, earlier on we had fixed wireless for which we had a few customers internationally. And we have been working on the full mobility, which is a full-fledged base station like you have today for any 4G network. And we've been doing trials of that, as I mentioned earlier, in the BSL network. This required us to build our own radios of different wattages, different bands, and different networking protocols, which we've successfully done. It also required us to interoperate with the core and interoperate with the existing equipment, which is a large quantity of equipment deployed as a part of the entire end-to-end solution, which again is being proven as a part of the BSNL 4G POC, which has been going on. So we feel confident that with the investment that we made, both wireline and wireless portfolio can potentially result into a good business success in the times to come. And we are really lining up our investment in line for that. So currently we have 4G in our wireless. Naturally, the next progression at some point in time soon will also to accelerate our journey towards 5G, as in line with what the networks around the world are evolving. Although 4G will still have a lot of deployments and a lot of business for many years to come. So overall, I would say in the technology side, the investments are on. We are continuing to stay invested and actually increase the investments, as Venkatesh said. And in the coming times, as you will see, we will be further accelerating our investments so that we can complete our product portfolio and get larger pieces of the customer's networks spend. Going to the last slide, and I'll summarize so that we can leave more time for question answers. So if you really see, the Q3 revenues was weak because we could not fulfill customer orders because of component shortages. And as I said, we didn't lose customers, and whatever we lost in Q3, hopefully we'll be making up in the subsequent quarter starting from Q4. And the way our business is set up is that we really need a minimum threshold of revenues to stay profitable, because our expenses are mostly manpower, which are almost fixed. So as our revenues will pick up, which we expect them to, our profitability should return as well. From a business momentum, new customer wins, both in India and internationally, we have been doing quite well. And as a result, as I mentioned, our order book has increased quite significantly. We continue to take actions to address the semiconductor shortages. But despite our best efforts, we did have some not-so-positive surprises last quarter when some of the components which we were planning to pull in did not come in time. So we do see that volatility may stay for some time. But from our side, we are taking everything that we can to secure more components in time to be able to have more consistent revenue predictability. In terms of our board, after the investment of Tata Sons, appointment of NG Subramaniam and Lakshmi from TCS has been a fantastic thing for us. And we really look forward to their guidance as well as their coordination and synergies across the Tata Group companies as we take the company from where we are to where we would like it to be. And from a cash position perspective, we have a fairly strong balance sheet, and we are working on plans to invest for long-term growth, both organically and inorganically. And as we make more progress on those initiatives, we would be sharing those ideas with you. But overall, we are definitely not so excited about what happened in Q3, but it was things that was not so much in our control. But at the same time, the business momentum is good, and from a team and the board and everybody in the company, we are very confident that the way things are panning out, we should be able to regain our revenue and business momentum, not just for the near term but also for the long term. This is really where I would pause, and I would then open it up for questions. And between myself, Venkatesh, Arnav, and Kumar, I will be happy to answer any questions that people have. So open the floor for questions, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Mukul Garg from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Hi, Sanjay. Sanjay, just wanted to understand, the discussion which, we had last quarter in Q2. The commentary was that, you have taken inventory actions, which should help kind of tide over the shortage for Q3 and Q4. What is disrupting the flow for you despite the orders already in play? And, what was the revenue impact which you had because of this inventory shortage? And finally, as part of now that you are part of Tata Group, do you think there can be some support which you can kind of lean on to kind of move yourself up from a supplier preference point of view?
Thanks, Mukul. First of all, a good question that we had orders in hand, and to be honest, we were ourselves expecting a lot more revenues for the quarter. But the way it worked out for us, and just to put things in perspective, in any of our products, we have more than 1,000 components of different kinds that go in. And even if I were to take Class A components, it will be around 150. So what happens is, even if you are able to secure 95 or 98% of those components, if there are even two or three suppliers who decommit or are not able to provide the quantity that they had committed to provide earlier, it can have a cascading effect in almost all the shipments or significantly large amounts of shipments that we had. So really, when we gave the Q2 commentary, we had placed orders, we had assurances, I won't say commitments, because right now the way the supply chain in the world works is everybody saying, okay, I'll try my best to make it happen. But in that sense, we had assurance, and since we had placed orders well in time, we were confident that we should be able to pull in. But some of the, as I said, some few critical supplies, I wouldn't say that. We were able to pull in a lot of material, and that's why our actually inventory went up. But unfortunately, since the balancing inventory could not be completed, we basically had a shortfall in revenues. And that is why when I said that it couldn't happen at the quarter boundary, but as we progress in this quarter, we should be able to see a better pull-in of the material. So that's what really happened. The second part which you mentioned is actually right. As a Tata Group, there is a lot more of semiconductor buy that happens across Tata Motors, ourselves, and maybe other group companies. And in fact, one of the things which I mentioned about synergies is that the buying power of that we have now available to us collectively is much more than what Tejas was able to do. And one of the things we realized in Q3 is that when push comes to shove, some of the suppliers possibly did not prioritize us as high as they prioritized some of their larger customers. So as a result of that, we came at the wrong end of the stick. But we do believe that with the synergies of the group, which we absolutely have started to explore and will continue to do much more aggressively in the next few weeks, we should hopefully get a better outcome. But that's something that, as I said, we'll be working on. And even having the two directors from the Tata side on our board also allows us to work much more closely and be able to achieve exactly the kind of thing that you mentioned.
Sure. And another probably a corollary question to this is, you mentioned that there is definitely a lack of visibility for the rest of 2022. Do you think we have any options to do some work around or some other equipments which exclude these critical equipment to tide over the near-term shortage, given that the rest of the supply and inventory is there, which you can utilize while this thing gets sorted? Anything which is in play which you can kind of do for the near term?
So first of all, let me also clarify that when I said that the supply chain constraints will continue during the rest of the 2022, it doesn't mean that we are not going to get supplies or there'll be lots of decommit. I just felt that given the demand supply gap, there could be sometimes negative surprises, if I were to put it more specifically. So what we are doing is very, really, I must say, in a way, overcompensating in terms of the planning. So because that's the only way we can be assured. As far as the second point which you mentioned, is if there are some critical suppliers where we have a very high degree of risk, for instance, as you said, is there a way to work around that? So the way to think of, and it goes on with the conversation that I just had a few minutes back, which is the Class A components, which are, let's say, higher cost and higher complexity components that are one of its kind. are very difficult to design out and replace in a board or in a card over a short period of time. However, class B and C components, definitely there is an opportunity to have a like-to-like replacement. So instead of component from vendor A, we can do vendor B, which is actually what we already do, but we can do that much more aggressively in terms of planning. And one other thing, by the way, I did not specifically mention, that even class B and C components, some of these things which are, generic components have also started to have a lead time increase, as we saw in Q3 and may even continue in this financial year. So I would just say that the whole situation on the component, when I said volatile, it just means that 100% predictability, if we just plan for that, is not going to be there. So either we over-plan or we have alternate plans in terms of, class B and C components, or if there's a class A component which we really see a serious risk or the supplier doesn't give us very good amount of confidence, we may have to take aggressive actions to do some R&D and in a short period of time find some alternates. But those are all things which we are looking. Last part I also want to mention is that we also have inventory which is in our hands. So in that sense, as long as we can balance the remaining inventory, the problem in that sense is limited to the level that we have shortages for those things. So all in all, I would say this is a situation that we just have to carefully navigate. And probably one specific thing which could help us is using a larger muscle to work with the component suppliers.
Sure. One clarification. Your order book continues to increase quite handsomely. Do you think there are any clauses in any of these, either public sector or private orders, which can lead to some liability in case of non-delivery due to component shortage?
So far, nothing. And I would not take the risk to say that we will not have that for the next 6 months or 1 year. So the way, as of now, nothing has happened. No order has been cancelled. Again, from our point of view, the good news is that most customers understand the current situation. So it's not just unique to Tejas, it is probably across the industry. So there's a much larger appreciation of the problem. However, as you rightly said, if there's a PSU customer or a customer where there's a hard constraint in terms of timeline and deliveries, we definitely look at that as a priority and make sure that liquidated damages or cancellation risk does not come upon us. So far, we've been able to manage it fine. We track all of that situation very closely. And as I said, it's something that we didn't have a very good situation in Q3, but a lot of that stuff should come back as we go forward, and we should be able to manage the situation effectively. So I would say at the macro level, I don't see that as any significant risk at the current point in time based on what orders we have. And by the way, one other thing is the larger order book was also a function because customers are also now realizing that placing last-minute order doesn't serve them any benefit. So we have been motivating them to give us more visibility, which helps us with better planning, gets them better visibility. So all in all, I think there's a deeper working relationship, as we saw in the case of India Private, where we saw a significant uptick in orders because the customers are appreciating the fact that we have to work in a partnership mode to really secure the inventory. And it's not just a Tejas alone problem, but a larger industry problem.
Understood. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Kashtariya from Edelweiss Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is regarding the investments what you talked about in R&D. If I look at the gross employee cost for the company, that is around 50 to 53 crore rupees per quarter, which is around 210 odd crore rupees for the year. Which is not very different what we saw last year, which was around 183 odd crore rupees. So can you quantify how much higher investment is actually going in this? And if you can give some color on number of employees added to the R&D or something like that, that would be useful. And in that context, if you can also highlight what are the areas in which would you be investing more? Optical products, of course, Tejas is very strong, but which specific product with respect to the wireless where you see more opportunities? That's my question. Thank you.
Sure. So I would say the numbers part, I'll ask Venkatesh to exactly highlight how much more we're doing. But we have to think about that we really just had one quarter, which is, October, November, December, in terms of uptick, in terms of increasing the tap on the R&D investments. So on an annualized basis, and when we look further, that will increase. And many of our R&D expenses also, some of it goes into capital work in progress, some of it gets capitalized. So in that sense, the kitty for R&D, which we look at it from the number of, and by the R&D expenses in this case, will not just be manpower, but a lot of prototypes. For example, just to give you an example, if you look at the POC that we are doing for BSNL right now, it's actually a full-fledged network of 4G in two cities in Punjab, right, which is a lot of base stations. So we have actually invested into a lot in prototypes and inventories as well, which again, I would say, counts into the R&D investment. So in that sense, I would say the R&D investments are definitely increasing. We've had the net headcount increase. I don't have the exact number offhand. But the second thing I wanted to mention, so that's one part, that the rate of investment has picked up in Q3 and it will continue to happen in Q4. And the whole game plan is that part of the relationship that we have with Tata was that we have to take a step back to, you know, run 10 steps forward. So one of the first things we have to do is we have to create really a very strong portfolio of products, which is expanding from just wireline to wireless. And even within both wireline and wireless, we really have to, you know, come to what I would call state-of-the-art in terms of everything that we do, because that's what we have to compete against. So that's step one. The step two was also to build a global sales engine, because once you're able to build this product, you've of course got to find a way to sell not just in India, but internationally. And as you can see in India, you know, some of the very large projects, you know, are now becoming accessible to us because of, you know, a larger partnership, which otherwise were not. That's the second part. Now, the third part is which areas we'll be investing. So first, in optical and wireline, I would say the investments will be incremental because we've invested over so many years. On the wireless side is where I would say we would see a significantly larger jump in investments for two reasons. One is for the 4G solution itself. We are really trying to step up and do and build a 4G system which is as good as anybody else in the world has produced, right? And to be able to do that, it requires a lot of resources, both in hardware and software, which we have, you know, started to step up. And the proof of concept that we're doing in BSNL is a good example that in a very short period of time, we have been able to step up to the plate and deliver. Coming back to the areas where we'll be investing, so clearly in terms of larger scale investments, wireless will be one area, both in 4G as well as in 5G, because if you're going to be in wireless, we just have to not do what is, you know, current or state-of-the-art, which is what is selling, which is 4G. But a lot of networks in 5G are getting built out. And this is not a one-year build cycle. A 5G build cycle will probably go for the next 5 years. So in the next 12 to 18 months, if you're able to catch all the action in terms of the big markets and big opportunities that we have, and there are many different application case use cases of 5G. So we do believe that in the wireless side, both for 4G and 5G, we would be stepping up the investments in the times to come. And part of what I mentioned as a last bullet in my summary slide was that we are, you know, working on some very active plans. A lot of things are in works, and as soon as we start, you know, putting them into concrete shape, we would definitely be sharing with the with all the investors as well.
So Sanjay, you know, a small follow up on that. If I look at you know, this the employee cost, which is R&D, you know, all said and done, a lot of investment, at least the headcount addition will happen, and hence the employee cost will increase. How should we see this, you know, for let's say FY23 or 24? Considering that will go up significantly, and I guess because you know, as you would know, that the telecom tend to be a long cycle, you know, sales, and that's why typically what we have seen historically is the revenue coming up, it takes time. So would it be fair to say that, you know, revenue for this would be like 2 years out compared to the investment what you're doing today?
Not really. And I will say that because some of the wireless investments that we are making or have been making proactively could potentially result into significant revenues as early as next financial year and of course, you know, going forward as well. So the way we are balancing the investments and I would say in terms of the larger investments for next financial year and the year after, I would say that we would come out with that plan in terms of sharing the larger, investment plan and, the payback plan, I would say, sometime this quarter, I would say. As far as the current outlook is concerned, we are mindful of the fact that there are large revenue opportunities which could occur in the next financial year itself, number one. Number two, the backlog that we are building for optical, and we expect that even in Q4, we see a reasonably healthy order inflow pipeline. So we would be starting next financial year with a pretty good order book, if I were to say. So the combination of what time it will take us for us to ramp up the R&D investments, along with how much revenue potential could be available next fiscal year itself, because some of the larger projects we are working on could be for revenue for a material part next financial year itself. And then, of course, you're right that some of the investments on 5G that we'll make, for instance, over the next 12 to 18 months, they will result in a revenue year or maybe next financial year or 2 years after. So we are kind of timing all our investments accordingly. Naturally, there is a little bit of visibility that will get more clear as this quarter progresses. But hopefully by the end of this quarter, when we look at the order book as well as the investment profile, we should have a much better clarity. And we are trying to make sure that both short and long-term objectives are reasonably balanced based on the situation that we have today.
Sure, Sanjay. Thank you so much for the detailed answers and wish you all the very best for your future group. Thank you.
Thank you, Pranav.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Dhanuka from DCPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Last con call, Mr. Sanjay, you had talked about sharing some long-term plans after the open offer got over. So that never materialized. Can you throw some light as to when that will happen?
Yeah, good question. I was hoping someone would ask because that was something we had planned to do. I would say that a lot of work in progress, a lot of progress we have made. We are not yet at a point where everything is put together that we can share. But as I said, sometime during this quarter, we do expect to do that. Part of two directors from Tata joining our board today was also to make sure that all of those plans should kind of get crystallized at the board level. So between the board, the management, and the entire company, we are all aligned. So as we have taken the first steps today in terms of inducting two board members from the Tata side, we have been working and we will continue to accelerate all the work we've been doing so that the long-term strategic plan could be shared with a larger group as and when we are able to complete it. So I would say yes, it was something that we had planned to do last quarter. For a variety of reasons, it could not be completed, and we do hope that in this quarter we should be able to complete that and share with you.
Okay. And throw some light on the PLI scheme as to how you are intending to go about it.
So the PLI scheme, our application was approved. We had a specific commitment which we had made for capital investment for the current financial year. We believe we are on track that we will cross that threshold. And once we cross that threshold, the incremental revenue that we will get for this financial year based on the base year of FY19, I think, or 1920, we should be able to get 6% of that as a PLI incentive. So we do believe that we should be able to avail the PLI incentive in this year because we will meet the criteria of the minimum capital investment and the incremental revenues as well. So yes, based on how strong the Q4 is, the quantum of PLI potentially would be determined for us, but that's around 6% for first year. And all our products are covered, by the way.
Okay. And Mr. Sanjay, if I remember correctly, last con call you had mentioned that your business model is such that with very minimal investments, you can have a turnover of thousands of crores of rupees as far as this PLI is concerned. So is my understanding correct?
That is correct because what PLI requires is capital investments, right? And our business model is an asset-light model. So our capital investments will always be not in proportion to the revenues, because as a product company, we outsource all our manufacturing to, say, EMS companies. We, of course, have our own factory for what we do, the portion of the manufacturing that we do in-house. The PLI also covers capital investment in the form of prototypes or some of the capital, other capital you know, items that that we incur on our books. So the why I mentioned that is an asset-light model. As long as we meet the capital investment threshold that we have committed on the PLI scheme, even if our revenues go significantly higher, we should be able to get the PLI incentive out of it. So that was exactly the reason I mean, if we are able to get, for example, a largish revenue next financial year based on some of the things that we are working on, there's a good degree possibility that you know, we should be able to claim the incentive on all the incremental sales there because of the low base that we had in 1920.
Okay. And I believe the addressable market for your products is somewhere around $150 billion. Is that correct?
Okay. So let me clarify it so that I don't want to, you know, paint a very big number. But the way to think of the entire telecom equipment industry, which is the carrier equipment industry, it's close to about $100 billion. But if you take that, about, you know, 30% of that or would be China, which we do not address at all. Then there would be a lot of markets where incumbents, which are not really open to us, because A, we will not be in those markets, and B, in those markets, there could be customers who have long-term contracts with some of the suppliers. So the RFP cycle in which we can potentially participate, you know, would be different. So as a result, although the addressable market with wireline, wireless, and all the some of the other stuff is doing very, very large. From our point of view, the real addressable market is probably lower, maybe around you know, 15 to 20% of the total. That I'm assuming with the Tata's coming on board and we are getting access to larger customers in different geographies, and with a product expansion that I mentioned in the form of wireless products, both 4G and going forward in 5G, we will have a much larger addressable portfolio. So to me, it's a question for us is that the market opportunity is very large. Other than China, there is a need for a quote-unquote independent stack of trusted telecom products, which, you know, we believe we should be able to step up and fill like we are doing in India and potentially in other markets. It will take a little bit of time. Maybe a year or two for us to, you know, get all our acts together in terms of getting the products right, getting the market access right. And if you are able to, and that is where we are going to be investing, and if you are able to get that done, we then really would start to see the benefits of the large addressable market that is available for our kind of companies. And that is really the direction in which we would like the company to take. Of course, you know, we have near-term challenges. We'll always have a short-term quarterly issue. Sometimes it will not be to our liking, but we are definitely not veering away from our long-term vision, and this is why what we did with Tata's and their own interest in this whole business stems from.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Raj from Nippon India Asset Management. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. So I have two questions. One, would you be booking any PLA revenue in the next quarter? And if yes, what could be the quantum?
Last year, your question is coming. Please repeat.
Sorry, yes, Sameer, may I request you to go to the line from your side?
Sameer's line is a little bit unclear, Sameer.
Yes, sorry. Is it better now, my voice?
Yeah, it is better now.
So I just wanted to understand, you know, what kind of PLI incentives you'll be booking in the current financial year, that is, especially in the next quarter. That's question number one. And secondly, you know, I just want to understand what is the order pipeline, and like this quarter, you had got orders of around 258 crore. But is the order pipeline, future order pipeline, is significantly large enough, and can this order booking be scaled meaningfully in the next quarter?
Okay, so the first question is how much PLI incentive we expect to get in Q4. So the way we do a little bit of a conservative accounting in our company, that any government incentive, we only record it in our books after we physically receive the cash. So depending on after we close Q4, we will of course be immediately applying to the government for the payout of PLI. They have a mechanism that they can pay 85% of the PLI incentive on unaudited financial basis, subject to approvals. So if by the April board meeting or April results announcement we are able to physically get the cash, then we will account it into our Q4 results. But as I said, it will be for the first year, it's 6% of the incremental revenue, and I think our base year revenue was 320 crores or 340 crores. So our base year revenue was 340 crores. So any revenue on north of sorry, how much?
380
crores. So any revenue north of 380 crores that we do in this financial year would qualify for around 6% on the PLI incentive. So that's part one. Your second question was the order book. So as I said, the order book for Q3 was 311 crores. And the best performing in terms of new order inflow for this quarter was India private, followed by international and then India government. For Q4, we do feel that there are a lot of tenders which we have either won or are in the process of winning, which are large things, with, you know, tenders from the critical infrastructure segment like power and rail and others. And they will contribute reasonably healthy, assuming those, you know, orders come into fruition stage. So they will become a good pipeline for next financial year. And as I mentioned earlier, that out of the order book that we have, 986 crores today, if we are able to secure inventory, around 50% of that, which is orders in hand, we should be able to revenue between Q4 and Q1. So in that sense, we have good visibility of execution. We have a reasonably decent visibility of new order inflow. Clearly, the only challenge we are facing is making sure we have placed orders on component suppliers, and we just need to make sure that we are able to pull in the inventory in time and you know, send it out for revenues. Because in fact, I must tell you that we are also in a situation that if we can complete some of these orders quickly, there's potential repeat business which is waiting from the customers that we have run rate contracts. So in that sense, we have as much of motivation to pull in more inventory and do the revenues faster. But, I mean, we are where we are because of some of the challenges in the overall supply situation of components.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naveen Bothra from Shobhlab Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And congratulations for the new board inductees, luminaries, as you said, from the Tata Group. And also congratulations for the all-time high order book, which we think should bode well in the coming periods. So my first question is regarding the PLI scheme, taking from the last question. In Tejas Network, we have committed for 111 crore investment under the scheme in the next 4 years. And in Akash Asta, which is a 100% subsidiary of Panathon Fininvest, has committed for a 593 crore investment in the PLI scheme, and they have also been approved. So I would like you to kindly throw more light on the synergies and all these things. How do you see the relationship with Akash Asta being a new company created just before the Tata's association with Tejas? So if you can throw more light on this, it will be quite useful for all the investors. Thank you.
Yeah. Of course, I cannot speak for Akash Asta because it's a separate company, and you should really talk to the Akash Asta and Tata people about it. As far as Tejas is concerned, you're absolutely right. 111 crores is the commitment we had made over 4 years. So first year commitment comes to around 23 crores or something that we said. And that is why I mentioned that that is the threshold we expect to cross this year. In line with the question that I had answered earlier for I think two questions back, the good news for us is that as long as we meet the threshold commitment this year, even if our revenues are much higher, we can take full advantage of the PLI. So to me, the way to look at PLI from our side, even just purely from a Tejas side, So long as we are able to make the annual capital commitment, every single, really boils down to how much more revenues can we generate. If we are able to generate a good business and good revenues, which is what I think partly, for example, our current order book is showing, and we hope that by the end of this quarter, if some of the larger projects that we are working on do fructify to the next stage, we should be having a much better revenue visibility for next year. But nonetheless, even without that, we do see that if we are able to get our handle on the supply chain situation, we do see a good business pipeline scaling up. I also talked about the synergies with the Tata group companies. One particular example is in India, where TCS is front-ending the large BSNL project. But our endeavor and efforts are on to leverage other geographies internationally, where our wireline, as well as with products which are ready today and are shipping, could be potentially sold as a part of larger solution. So some of those things are work in progress. We don't have anything concrete to report at this stage, but definitely that is the direction in which we are moving, so that we find a way to sell a lot more of the current products in different geographies, and at the same time continue to invest into newer products which expand the market. Maybe use India as a large market to begin with, and then expand that same thing into other international territories as we would have done for the optical. So I would say that's the broad strategy, and from a PLI angle, we seem to be good on our own in terms of self-sufficiency. One other thing I would like to highlight also, that the PLI scheme for telecom that the government had announced had an 11,000 crore outlay, out of which the approvals have been done only for 7,000 crores. So there's still about 4,000 crores of PLI incentive, which is quote-unquote yet unclaimed as of now, based on the investment proposals that people have given. So we do believe that if we are able to, over the next 2 to 3 years, get the business momentum and acceleration that we expect to get, we should be able to benefit from that scheme in a more substantial way than currently in the size.
Okay. So look forward to more clarity about Akasasta and all these things, because that is 5 times more than our investment commitment. So as you said that during this quarter, it may be possible to have a special con call for the vision and all the future plans. So we look forward to Akasasta issue and all these things in that call. And thank you. And second question is regarding the semiconductor PLI scheme. Are we planning or are we thinking about those areas along with the Tatas, or we will be, if any discussion is there with the Tatas, that we will be going forward in this area as the Tejas network?
So I would say it's a bit early to specifically comment on that. But because a lot of the details of that scheme in terms of operationalizing are yet to be out. But one thing is there, that the broader, and which is related to the comment I mentioned earlier, that we do believe that the government of India's intent and support for domestic manufacturing is continuing to grow. So what, if you really see the PLI scheme for the semiconductor components, it has two elements. There's semiconductor components and there's a design element as well, for fabless or system design. So we basically do a lot of design. So the broader intent of the government is that not only do they want manufacturing within the country for electronics and telecom, but they also want high value addition domestically, which is a lot more design content. And we do, address, that part of the equation quite well, because, really we have high value addition because all the designs are done in the country, all the IPR is created by us. So that is the direction in which we're going. Again, as I said, over a period of time, there will be more synergies, that would be derived with other group companies, the clarity on which we do not have at this stage. But it is something that we would definitely would like to explore going forward. So in that sense, once the details of the semiconductor and the design-related scheme come in, we would definitely be trying to see if there's a merit for us to, look into those as well.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I look forward to the special phone call which you plan to hold during this quarter or maybe next quarter. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The The next question is from the line of Tejas Seth from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi Sanjay. On this execution of the order side, is there also any loss of the orders which would have come because of the slow execution which you are doing?
No, so we have not lost any order in that sense, and in fact, even if you see our financials, there is no liquidated damages or anything of that kind either. So in one sense, yes, you know, there is, which I mentioned right at the upfront, that whatever, you know, business we could not execute in Q3, we expect to execute in this quarter and going forward. The other point is, on the positive side, if we are able to execute the orders in hand at a much faster rate, you know, because we have run rate contracts with many of our customers and they need a lot of equipment of the kind that we have, we can potentially get more business, right? So it's more like a positive incentive we have if we are able to close out the current orders quickly, which is what we would love to do, but are constrained from the supply side.
So what I mean is, would our order book be more than, let's say, 1500 crore? It would have been more than 1500 crore if we had executed it in the past two quarters.
I would say that's a difficult one to predict because it's a hypothetical situation. But all I can say is that the order book continues to be good, and we need to execute well, because if you don't execute well, of course, customers are going to be unhappy with us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
First port of call is to make sure that the orders that we have in hand get executed quickly. We keep a close communication with our customers to make sure that if we are missing on something, they understand why and what we are doing. We try to, by the way, manage the situation so that critical requirements in each of the customers are satisfied. By the way, this is exactly what is happening across the chain. Our suppliers also are having a limited number of components, and they try to round robin between, you know, us and others and many more. And sometimes we get what we need, and sometimes we're not getting what we need. So I hope, again, as I said, that as the year progresses, the supply situation should ease, because there has been announcement that, you know, up to 30% increase in semiconductor capacity is being planned in the current fiscal. The capital investments were committed last year by chip manufacturers. They will take some time. There was a lot of double booking and double ordering that people had done for components because of the shortage, which should again hopefully play out. But all said and done, I would say we are taking a very cautious approach, because Q3 was a bit of a surprise for us. We had expected much better, but when two things didn't happen, it's negative. I would say, we are, you know, keeping close watch on the, you know, customers, making sure that the order book continues to stay healthy and we don't lose customers because of lack of supplies.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anup Lal from Dalmia Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. My first question relates to the raising gross profit margins. So till which quarter do you think that stress will continue? And the second question is, there is a sudden steep rise in provisions for credit loss. So could you explain on it?
Yeah, so let me explain the first one, and then the second one, the ECL thing, Kitesh can explain. On the first one, by the way, while we had a drop in gross margin in this quarter, part of it is because, usually we have a much healthier blend of international shipments compared to domestic, where the margins are better. So that would have naturally popped the margins up. Secondly, in this particular quarter, we did have to take, spot actions for buying, and some of the suppliers have also increased the prices. And these are contracts of the past, so we cannot, you know, go and dishonor the price that we had committed. So it was like a double whammy that hit us. There will be margin pressure. Some of it, as Venkatesh mentioned earlier, we are passing it to our customers in the form of whenever we are bidding into a new contract or renewing a new rate contract. And many of the cases, we have successfully been able to increase the prices, but that will take effect in future. So when I say margin pressure will be there, because it's an interplay between the India and international revenue mix. It's an interplay between older contracts, which we have to honor at the old price, and the newer contracts that we are signing. and the fact that suppliers have increased costs. I mean, that's an industry-wide phenomenon. If you see any company, they are unfortunately being forced to pass those price increases to the customers. So how all of these three interplays over the next one or two quarters is a little bit dynamic. It will, I mean, of course, things will always be better than what we saw in Q3. But precisely to say that we will return to the profitable gross margin level of what is our steady state of around 39-40%, I think will take a couple of quarters to do a wait and watch. The second question about we provisioned higher for the estimated credit loss ECL, maybe Venkatesh can just throw a little bit of light on that.
Yeah, on the ECL front, as I mentioned, you know, on the collection front, I said, you know, we did very well in terms of the collection. We collected about 182 crores. And I mentioned about, you know, some of the collections had come, continue to come, but it was coming at a very low low pace. And what happens is every quarter, the receivable gets edged out to the next bucket, right? Based upon that, we had to make the provision. That's the reason, you know, we had to take this hit of about, you know, 13 crores of higher ECL, right, in this quarter. That is particularly due to some of the PSU payments which has got delayed, which particularly, you know, a significant portion of the thing is on account of the BSNL delay.
Okay.
Maybe we can take one last question since we are almost out of time.
Thank you. We'll take the last question from the line of Sunny Gosar from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Basically, if you can, I would like to understand what's the scope of the BSNL 4G tender, basically in terms of if this order is to materialize, what is the revenue opportunity for us, and basically what is the timeline should look for this order?
So first of all, let me outline the steps on that. Number one is that the proof of concept which is going on has to complete. At this point in time, there is only one indigenous stack which is completing the proof of concept. None of the other stacks came up to the level that that we are today. That activity should get completed over the next few weeks. You know, it's been going on for about 4 months plus, but a lot of testing, a lot of things have happened, but formally it has to close, and that is part one. After that, the commercial process will start. The intent of BSNL is to roll out this network in the next financial year, and maybe it may spill over materially over next financial year, and it will spill over to the following financial year as well. In terms of the size of the thing, I would not want to point out a number, but anywhere between 57,000 sites to 100,000 sites is what they want to cover. And that, if we are able to, there's a lot of ifs before that, of course. But if all of that happens, it could mean a few thousand crores of revenue for us.
Right. And basically, there were some news articles about November which mentioned that TCS had violated some of the conditions. So have that issues all been sorted out, or basically what's the stage on that?
I would say that as far as we are concerned, that the whole thing, there's a lot of stuff which comes out in the newspapers, and it's not fair for us to comment on that. We have been working with the customer. We have been following the process to the T. Whatever hardware, whatever capacity of equipment, radios, 40 watts, different bands, different kinds of software features, capacity, capability, whatever is in the ask by the customer, we have been, patiently, demonstrating and delivering and completing the test checklist. So that process is on. It would not be fair for me to comment on the exact, status of it, because it is really a prerogative of the customer. But all I can say is that we believe that we have the technological strengths and capabilities to deliver. We have done it in the past, and never let any customer down. So we feel that as the process goes further, things should fall in place. But again, there are a lot of things which which have to be concluded by the customer, and as a customer, it's their prerogative to finally take the call. But from our side, you know, we have been able to step up to the plate and deliver on many of the things which sometimes get, what should I say, forwarded to the press for whatever reason. Let me put it this way.
Right. And if I could just feed in one last question. Basically, we saw almost 10 percentage points drop in gross margin in Q3 versus Q2. One of the reasons highlighted is obviously the lower mix of export business. But if you can basically give some color in terms of as the assuming the business mix normalizes over the next few quarters, do we get back to this 45% to 50% gross margin range, or does the pressure of input cost still continue to weigh on our gross margin for few coming quarters?
I would say there would, so as I said, there are two reasons. One is the product, one is the international India mix, and of course there's also a subset within that, the product mix. And then the third thing is there is a cost increase by the suppliers, as I mentioned earlier, which also has put some pressure. The question is how much of that we are able to pass to our customers. In the new contracts, we are able to pass it. In the older contracts, we have to honor what we have. So I would still say that next couple of quarters, if we were to be cautious, there will be a certain amount of margin pressure. If we do better than that, we'll see. But, you know, it's just a simple situation because our leverage with the suppliers at this stage in terms of, you know, cost reductions and all that which we normally get is a little bit less because right now the focus is more on deliveries. And they have options to supply to people who are willing to pay premium, who are willing to pay expedite fees, who are willing to pay, you know, whatever other charges beyond the normal pricing. So for us, it's first to secure the order, to keep the customers happy. If we have to sacrifice a small amount of margin in that interim, so be it. But this is, as I said, I mean, all of these things are, you know, phenomena which will settle down in a couple of quarters. And then if you are able to hold the prices with our customers, then we should be okay to stabilize on the margin. I don't see any fundamental reason that over the medium term, we will not get back to the margin that we were in the past. But in the next couple of quarters, it is a little bit difficult to predict precisely. So it would be safer to say that there will be margin pressure, but how much we are able to manage is something that we'll actually see.
Okay. Great. Thanks for the detailed answers and good luck for the coming times, and look forward to hearing from you on the long-term strategy.
Certainly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
No, thank you, everybody. I really appreciate the questions, which you know, pretty much touch all aspects of our business. In summary, I would say that the business momentum is good, order info is good. You know, Q3 definitely was not something that we expected in terms of revenues and margins. But as things go by, we should be able to recover and build up the momentum. That's more on the current business side. You know, the strategic investments from Tata and the board of directors that we have now got from Tata side will help us synergize better, help us think much bigger, help us execute much better, bigger, because these are guys who have built really global scale businesses, and working closely with them would be very exciting for us. And we are, you know, really doing all of this to make sure that in the medium to long term, we create a sustainable engine for a very high growth. And, you know, and that is something that we'll be working on closely. And we are confident that with the cash in hand, with the business momentum, we should be able to tide, you know, the short-term challenges of supply chain and so on. But at the same time, be able to expand our product portfolio, build a better sales engine, and stitch partnerships in a strategic way with both within the group and outside, to be able to really, you know, realize the vision of accelerating and, you know, creating a top-tier global telecom equipment company on an end-to-end basis from India. So that's something which we are excited about, and we will all be working, you know, as best as we can to manage the situation, some of which is not in our control. But as time goes by, hopefully things will start, you know, getting more predictable from the point of view of revenues and profitability. So thank you again, and stay safe, and we'll again talk to you during the quarter.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.